21, my name is Elijah Bateman from the 12th Fox Office Observatory, Crown Division, Long Island, Georgia. In Libertyville, Texas, today is September 5, 2017, or it is Hebrew 15, 2021. And we'll start our first service today with a song entitled, Will There Be Any Stars in My Crown? When the sun goeth down, and through wonderful grace by my Savior I stand, will there be any stars in my crown? Will there be any stars, any stars in my crown, when evening the sun goeth down? Will I wait the blessed and the sages of rest? Will there be any stars in my crown? In the strength of the young, let me labor and pray, let me watch as a matter of soul, that the light stars may be mine in that glorious day, when His grace like the sea will overflow. Will there be any stars in my crown, when evening the sun goeth down? When I wake with the blessed in the mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? Oh, what joy it will be when His face I behold, living gems at His feet to lay down. They will speak in my blessing, I set me a rope, should there be any star in my crown? Will there be any stars in my crown, when at evening the sun goeth down? When I wake with the blessed in this mansion of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? Who is Israel by the Promise? Shepherd Rod, Volume 1. We're on page 64 by the B.T. Halter. Our prayer thought is going to be taken from Genesis chapter 41, verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and the lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine, so Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt, and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told of them his dream, that there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Inspector Chief Butler under Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in the ward and the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night. I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was none there with us, a young man in the Hebrew, a servant unto the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. Unto each man according unto his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted unto us, so it was me he restored unto my office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. Yahweh shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored. And they fed in the meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and ill-favored, very ill-favored and lean flesh, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind, and when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke, and I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up, and one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered thin and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magician, but there was none that could declare it unto me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. Yahweh has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. For the seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are seven years. The dream is one, and the seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What Elohim is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by the reason of that famine fallen, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was double unto Pharaoh, twice. It is because the thing is established by Yahweh, and Yahweh will surely bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7th plenteous years, and let them gather all the fruit of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt. that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. Joseph's advancement. Verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servant, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of Yahweh is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as Yahweh hath shown thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Now pay attention to this. We're going to have an antitypical Pharaoh that's going to do this again. He's going to appoint a Joseph, a Hebrew, over the Egyptians, his own people. And he says, he's going to say to this Joseph, thou shalt be over my house. Now, this antitypical Pharaoh actually translates into Yahweh. Because this Pharaoh was a type of Yahweh. Was a type of Yahweh in the beginning. And Joseph was a type of Yahshua. The land of Egypt. Yahweh is going to come down again, he already has, with his son, and he's going to appoint his son, antitypical Joseph, over all of Egypt again. And Pharaoh said, verse 41, Genesis 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Well, and directly this is Yahweh's doing. He worked through Pharaoh of Egypt. He had his hand in Joseph being there in Egypt. He had his hand in all of that, all the circumstances surrounding Joseph becoming the governor of Egypt. Now the United States today is antitypical Egypt. Yahshua is Joseph. Now Yahshua has come and take the reins in his own hand. Now watch this. Verse 42. Genesis 41. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bowed a knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now notice that Pharaoh had two chariots, one for Joseph and one for him. Yahweh has two chariots, flying saucers, one for him and one for his son, Yahshua. The scriptures bear this out. Ezekiel 1:26 shows where Yahshua occupies the throne inside of his chariot. And it says Joseph rode in that chariot throughout all the land, his own chariot. And all the Egyptians had to bow the knee to Baal. But Yahshua has come back in his own chariot. It's invisible, but nevertheless he has come back, taking the reins in his own hand. This is how he gets about all over. He goes in his flying chariot. Verse 44, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand. Our food in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the prison of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Okay, folks, top and antitop. Yahshua was 30 years old when he laid down his apron, carpenter, in his carpenter shop. He took his apron off, folded it up, and he walked out the door, never to go back to his home in Nazareth, where he was raised by his father, his stepfather Joseph, and his mother Mary. He was 30 years old. And where did he go? He went and stood before his father. His father gave him a command that it's time for you to go, son, and to set up the kingdom of David, to set up the kingdom of David. So in essence, what was Joseph doing down in Egypt at the age of 30? He was put in charge of Egypt. And they all bowed down to Joseph. Bow the knee. And do what Joseph tells you to do. At the age of 30 years old. And in the seven plenteous years, this is in Genesis 41:47. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by the handful. And he gave up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without the number. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came. That was Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for Yahweh said, he has made me forget all my toil, all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for Yahweh hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteousness was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried unto Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto all Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith unto you do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses, and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt unto Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. So, where is the antitypical Joseph at today? He's right here in Liberty Hill, Texas. Yahshua is the antitype of Joseph. Yahshua is a type of this Joseph. Remember I told you about the generic term of the master prophet, Jezreel? Well, whatever prophecy is being fulfilled in the antitype, that's the role we play here in the house of David. Okay, Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, page 64. Who is Israel by the promise? For the experience of the Israelites, and the departing from Egypt was written for the instruction of those who should live in the last days before the overflowing spirit shall come upon the dwellers of the earth. Yahweh calls upon all who are Israelites indeed to prepare for that event. Volume 6, page 195. For the 12 tribes of Israel after the flesh are but a type of Israel by the promise, the 144,000. As there were Gentiles among Israel the type, there would be Gentiles and Israel the true. The early part of the Christian apostolic time could not be called Israel, but the history of the church then was typified by the Isaac, according to Galatians 4:22-31. And as explained on pages 53-54, Isaac was not called Israel, for he was the father of Jacob, and it was Jacob who was called Israel. Therefore, Israel, whatever part of the congregation it is, must come sometime later in the history of the house of Israel. Jacob was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, and if Israel after flesh is the type of Israel by the promise, the truth, then let us state the beginning of Israel after the flesh. If we are to locate or to know of the Israel by the promise, the hyphen, the 144,000. Now, the Vitihel is called an Israel by the promise of the 144,000. For the journey of the Israel down into the Egypt could not have been an accident. Whatever the reason for it, Yahweh was in it. Joseph said unto his brother, Genesis 45:5. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourself, that ye sold me hither, for Yahweh did send me before you to preserve life. Joseph declares that Yahweh was the cause for him going into Egypt. Yahweh had also told Abraham that he and his seed would sojourn and be afflicted in a strange land for 30 years. But why did Yahweh send them into Egypt? Why was Joseph sold at the age of 17, merely a lad, into the hands of the cruel Ishmaelites, and led to a strange land to be resold as a slave? We certainly would not make a mistake by the thing that Joseph became faint-hearted on the way. There surely must have been a reason for all this ill treatment. Let's continue now with our study, Who is Israel by the Promise? We're on page 65 of Shepherd Rod, Volume 1. In Egypt, Joseph was sold to serve as a slave and later was thrown into the dungeon for a number of years. Why did Yahweh lead Israel into that strange land where idolatry prevailed everywhere? For Yahweh certainly knew that in that land they would become slaves in just a short while. Why would heaven allow Yahweh's chosen people to become servants unto a nation whose idols were their gods? Why did the Yahweh permit the lashes of the Egyptian taskmasters to be applied upon the backs of his people? Why would divine love permit the children of Abraham's, Yahweh's friend, while yet in the infancy, to be drowned in the river Nile? Who can say our great Yahweh was ignorant of all these things which took place, or that he made a mistake? The only answer that can be offered is that it was all a heavenly design. But what was it all about? For the Yahweh must have had some special reason and specific purpose for an object lesson to be taught at a certain time. One may say Yahweh did it all to show His power. But would the all-wise and great Yahweh, full of love and mercy, destroy His children to show His power? Not even an earthly mortal human father would dare destroy His children to show His power. Who would dare say human beings have greater love or better judgment than the great Yahweh, whose mercy is immeasurable, whose love fills the universe, whose wisdom is unsearchable, whose judgment is in the judgment. I mean, His judgment is with the justice. Okay, not only His chosen suffered of the bondage and cruelty, but the Egyptians as well. At the time of the Exodus movement, at the departure of Israel, the plague came upon all Egypt, and the nation was nearly ruined. On the night of the Passover, there was death in every dwelling where there was no blood on the doorpost, and in every stall of the beast. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of the Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beast, Exodus 11:5. Okay, it says, Israel journeyed to the Red Sea, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the waters were divided. Israel went into the sea and walked across over dry ground. For the Egyptians pursued after them into the midst of the sea, and Moses stretched his hand over the sea, for the waters returned and covered the chariot, horsemen, and all the host of the Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Israel came into the wilderness where they wandered about for 40 years. Thousands of them perished because of their unbelief. At the end of the wilderness journey, the people crossed the Jordan. During the time Israel was away from the Canaan, the land was thickly inhabited by the heathen nation. Israel was compelled to destroy them by the sword in order to possess the land. Think of the loss of life, grief, and suffering, all because the Yahweh took Israel into Egypt and brought them back again. But the Yahweh certainly would not destroy His subjects just to show His power. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 and 12, speaking of the experience of the children of Israel, we read, "Now all these things happen unto them for in samples, and they are written for admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." If we are the people upon whom the end of the world is about to come, then their examples are written for our admonition. This is the reason why the Yahweh led the children of Israel into the Egypt and back again. Think how great the price to work out the picture. The lessons to be derived from these great examples are far greater than we have ever realized. Many thousands lost their lives to produce the picture than those who perished. Let us therefore carefully study into the lessons that were intended for our learning and admonition. Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed. and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the seven well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of the Egypt, and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, and there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Pharaoh told the dream unto Joseph. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, Yahweh has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by the handful. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the city. The food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the sand. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. Genesis 41:1-49. We shall endeavor to bring enough evidence in this study to show that Israel's experience in Egypt is a photograph of the Israel, the true, the 144,000 in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. While the Exodus movement was a great movement, the Second Advent movement will be still greater. Yahweh will take out a people, not from one nation only, but from every nation under the heaven, and he will lead them into the heavenly Canaan. See, into the heavenly Canaan. Well, where's that heavenly Canaan at? It's set up right here on this earth, in this 12th parabolic jar that we're in now. It's set up, and it has the name of the kingdom of the everlasting kingdom of the David, everlasting kingdom of the heaven, everlasting kingdom of the Yahshua. Okay? This Advent movement, of which the Exodus movement was the top, we believe was foretold in the prophecy in the following stirring language. It shall come to pass in that day that the Yahweh shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left. There shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, like as it was unto Israel in the day that he camped out of the land of Egypt. Review in Herald, October 10, 1929, pages 4 and 5. For the Exodus movement is in a way a type photograph of the closing work of the Yahweh under the Advent movement. Each movement rises in the fulfillment of the time prophecy. Well, that's our movement. It rose in the fulfillment of the time prophecy of the 11th hour. Matthew 20:5, the 11th hour labors. Recall, close out the 11th hour and to receive their new work that they were to work in the vineyard the next day when the sun comes up on the 12th hour. And so that's where we're at. And the fulfillment of the time prophecy, certainties of the Advent movement by W.A. Spicer, for the fact that Israel after the flesh is a type photograph, their experience must be duplicated by the true, otherwise there can be no type. year of plenty and famine. For the Yahweh permitted the plenty as well as the famine. Each one bears the number 7, meaning perfect or complete. These two sections of time can only mean one thing, which is none other than this world and history. And two great divisions, namely B.C. and A.D., with the cross as a dividing line, the 7 years of plenty represents the Old Testament period, in which time Yahweh gave plenty, for by his holy prophets he stored it in the great storehouse. What we today call the Bible, in Matthew 11:13, we read, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John." It is for this reason that Yahshua made the above statement, for we have no other thus far. In the 7 years of plenty B.C., Elohim stored his word in the Bible to feed the world Egypt. In the next 7 years of famine A.D., Yahweh hears sundry times and in divers manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Hebrews 1:1-2. For the New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old. Joseph, type of the Messiah, Yahshua. Joseph typified the Yahshua. See Patriarchs and Prophets 2:39. And 2:40. Our Elohim, in the Old Testament time, 7 years of plenty, spoke to his people in divers manners by his prophets, and commanded these things to be written, with the intention to speak unto his people in these last days. New Testament time are the 7 years of famine, to each one of us individually by the voice of his word as found stored in the scriptures. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. There's your key word, rule, rule of law. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto the Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in the vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And he cried before him, "Bow the knee," and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I am the Pharaoh. And without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." Genesis 41:40-44. No greater favor or honor could Pharaoh have shown unto Joseph, and all the Egyptians bowed down unto him. As we proceed in this study, we shall prove beyond a doubt that Joseph is a perfect type of the Yahshua, Pharaoh type of the Messiah, of the Yahweh. Joseph is a perfect type of the Yahshua, and Pharaoh is a type of the Yahweh. If Joseph typified Yahshua and Pharaoh honored Joseph above any man ever honored by any king, and Joseph and Pharaoh work hand in hand, then Pharaoh must stand for some figure or type. It would not be hard to determine what Pharaoh represents. That which honored Yahshua above everything that can be honored upon earth is what Pharaoh represents. For the congregation of the apostles honored Yahshua above everything that can be honored, so much so that all sacrifice or alive, no greater homage has Yahshua received upon earth by any other part in the history of his congregation. By this we understand that the Pharaoh represents the apostle or organization, The application made here will prove correct as we advance in this study. Further explanation upon this subject is given on the last page of this section. Alright, the beginning of famine. The dividing line between the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine is the cross. Now get that. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Matthew 11:13. Wherefore the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. The first year of famine is the beginning of the congregation of the Yeshua. The beginning of the apostolic congregation of Yahshua at the time of the apostles. One may ask, why a famine in the beginning of the Christian church? Did they not get sufficient corn? True, yes, but they got it from the great storehouse, the Bible, in the same way as the Egyptians received their corn in the years of the famine from the immense storehouse at the hand of Joseph. See, pages 15 to 18. The Egyptians type of the Gentiles. For the 7 years of famine began when the Egyptians came unto Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith unto you, do. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. Genesis 41:55-56. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought them, the money into the Pharaoh's house. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in the present? For the money faileth, and they brought their cattle unto Joseph. And Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses, and for the flocks, and for the cattle of the herds, and for the asses, and he fed them with the bread for all their cattle for that year. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year, and said unto him, we will not hide it from my master, how that our money is spent. My master also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my master but our bodies and our land. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh. As Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field. And they said, thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my master, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. Genesis 47:14-25. In the beginning of the famine, the Egyptians went to Pharaoh for corn instead of unto Joseph. They were well acquainted with Joseph, for he had been a governor of Egypt for 8 years or more. Joseph ruled over all the land of Egypt, and every Egyptian bowed down unto him. During the years of plenty, it was Joseph who brought the corn from the Egyptians, and it seemed strange that they should go unto Pharaoh. It must have been by the divine providence that they came unto him. It has been explained that Pharaoh represented the congregation, organization, or leadership. For the Egyptians cannot represent anything else but the Gentiles in the days of the apostles. For the Gentiles came unto the church Pharaoh, where they were told to go to Joseph, Yahshua, what he saith unto you do, that is, the congregation held purity without one strange thing in their midst, directed the Gentiles unto Yahshua as their life giver, as Pharaoh directed the Egyptians unto Joseph. Egyptians sold themselves unto Pharaoh. Okay, I'm going to read that again to you, this last paragraph. It has been explained that the Pharaoh represented the apostolic organization or leadership of the apostle. And Pharaoh represented Yahweh in Joseph's day. So now in the Antitype, he represents Yahweh again. The Egyptians can not represent anything else but the Gentiles in the days of the apostle. So that's what the Egyptians represent in the type then, as Gentiles unto Joseph. For the Gentiles came unto the congregation, or the apostolic congregation, Pharaoh, where they were told to go to Joseph, parentheses, Yahshua. What he said unto you, that is the congregation of Israel, and her purity, without one strange thing in their midst, directed the Gentiles unto Yahshua as their life giver. For the apostolic congregation of the Church of the Nazarene back then was the life giver and the law giver, Genesis 49:10, as Pharaoh directed the Egyptians unto Joseph. Egyptians sold themselves unto Pharaoh. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field, because of famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's, Genesis 47:20. In the preceding verses of the chapter we read, for the Egyptians spent all their money for corn, and when the money was gone, they gave the cattle in exchange, and when the cattle were gone, they gave the land, and when the land was gone, they sold themselves and became servants unto Pharaoh. This is a type, but of the fulfillment of this type we read in the following text. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Yahshua Messiah, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and bought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, a Levite, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet, Acts 4:32-37. Thus the Jew and Gentile sold all houses and lands, and brought the prices, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and became servants unto the purified congregation, parentheses, Pharaoh. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. Joseph removed people throughout Egypt. And Joseph bought all the land of the Egypt for Pharaoh. And as for the people, he removed them into the cities, from one end of the borders of Egypt, even unto the other end thereof, Genesis 47, part of verse 20-21. This is the type. Following is the fulfillment of the type, Acts 8:1. And Saul was consenting unto his Stephen's death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. It will be noticed that the apostles were at home, Jerusalem, And there is no record where the apostles sold their land. Now we quote the top of the letter, Genesis 47:22. Only the land of the priest bought he not, for the priest had a portion assigned them of the Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which the Pharaoh gave them. Wherefore they sold not their land. It is remarkable to note how this coincides to the smallest detail. 70 souls type of the organization. For the Israel arrived in Egypt in the second year of the famine, Genesis 45:10-11, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto thee, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast, and there will I nourish thee further. Yet there are 5 years of famine, thus thou and thy household, and all that thou hast come to poverty. For the arrival of Israel and Egypt stands for some symbol, in which there must be a lesson. Note that this lesson cannot be for the early part of the apostolic congregation, for Israel came in the second year of the famine. The lesson then intended here is for a latter period in the church, in the history of the church. If we are to know the truth of the incident and the lessons intended to be derived from it, reference must be made unto the number of souls which entered into Egypt. And the sons of Joseph which were born in Egypt were 2 souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob which came into Egypt were 70, Genesis 46:27. The Bible says all the souls who came into Egypt were 70 in number. If we can in some way find the meaning of the number, then we shall understand the lesson. When Moses with the children of Israel came to Sinai, he organized the congregation there and organized and selected 70 elders. For the same organization years later crossed the Jordan and went into the promised land. There they had the Sanhedrin, which was composed of the 70 men. Thus the number 70 is a symbol of the church organization. The meaning then is that there will be a church organization sometime in the history of A.D. If this is true, then that church which Yeshua with the apostles organized must disband and of necessity be reorganized. This is true, for the Christian church was disorganized in the Dark Ages during the time of the beginning of the papal rule. When again organized, it would partially fulfilled Joel 2:32, and in the remnant whom Yeshua shall call, the 2300 days or years of the Daniel's prophecy in the 8th chapter gives us the entire truth of the church history to 1844, until which time there was no call for the reorganization. It therefore had been, or if this call for the reorganization had met its fulfillment before 1844, then Daniel's prophecy would have made mention of it, as the prophecy is silent, and there has no prophet of the Yahweh arisen since the church fell into the papal power about 5538-1844. Then the truth of the symbol was yet in the future. As the prophetic period ended in 1844, the most holy place in the heavenly sanctuary was open, into which Yahshua entered. If this incident marked the beginning of the atonement, there would have been no better or more appropriate time for a call from the heaven than at the end of the great prophetic period, the Day of the Atonement being the most solemn time for the church. Seventh-day Adventists were called out by a prophet and are practically the only people who believe in the 2300 days. We are the only people who have proclaimed it since 1844 and are now in the atonement, or the time of the judgment for the dead. The first phase of the judgment in this last days, there's two phases, judgment of the dead, judgment of the living. For the text for this is here quoted. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and unto every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear the Yahweh and give glory unto him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made the heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the water. Revelation 14:6-7. Seventh-day Advent only can fulfill the type, for just at this time they were called by a prophet of Yahweh to organize as a denomination and to proclaim the glad news, this gospel in all the world in this generation. Thus the symbol, 70, met its fulfillment at that time. This brings the first of our studies. This hour, you can contact us at the 11th hour call. It's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. I lead you to the rock that is higher than I, by the Elijah Davis, a song that I've written. I lead you to the rock that is higher than I, I'll forever be. And lead you to the sound of everyone who's been sitting in free. Life in this world I have to live to try to save myself. For the greater heights I have to attain, better down alone. Lead me to the rock, oh, lead me to the rock, lead me to the rock that's higher than mine. Lead me to the place of the Savior's feet, lead me to the best in the sky.
Forever and as we die. run down. Need to clear up the sun. Need to clear up those great bitter rocks.
Lead me to those mansions in the sky.